Back in 1940, there was a man who was thinking about a book, and the subject of the book was a devil. Well, after some time and some research, this is the book that he came out with. The author is C.S. Lewis. You might have read some of Lewis's books. He's a very famous author, and this one was written back in 1940. If you can't see it, the title is The Screwtape Letters, and then he has some illustrations in there. Now, if you're not familiar with The Screwtape Letters, Lewis was a bright man, a philosopher, and really wrote some excellent material. The Screwtape Letters tries to imagine some conversations with the devil. If we could go to the place where the devil is and look at some of the conversations the devil has with some of his helpers and trying to figure out the best way to interfere with people, it would be perhaps a very interesting place to visit, or at least seeing what those conversations are like would be fascinating. Well, in this particular book, we have what is referred to as a young demon, quote unquote, and the demon's name is Wormwood. Wormwood gets some instructions on how to cause people problems, and it's a fascinating book. Even though it is an older book, it is, especially as we look at today's culture and times, a book which is very, very relevant. Chapter 13, the parable of the tares, the Bible there says that the devil wants to sow tares, or comparison to bad wheat in the world. And you may remember from John chapter 8 and verse 44, the Bible says that the devil is the father of all lies. Paul, as he was talking about elders in 1 Timothy 3, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7 that Satan wants to put snares before us. And then that passage that we had in Revelation chapter 12, in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, the Bible says the devil has not only wrath, it says that the devil has great wrath. And the devil wants to discourage people to reject God as being the one who cares for his people and answers his prayer. When you start thinking about the devil, one of the best tools that we have to defeat him is critical thought. In our day and time, though, logic, reasoning, critical thought, those are the many things that people want to throw out the window and say, oh, wait, we don't need those anymore. They're not useful. Well, if the devil can distract people or turn people from critical thought, he's going to have a number of victories. Once people are convinced that they can pick any old road, it really doesn't matter what they think, what they believe, and what they do, the devil is going to have a strong winning streak. When you start thinking about it, though, you have to use a little critical thought to get to this point, but we need critical thought in our world. Suppose someone handled their finances without critical thought. Now, I know not everybody has a checking account now or balances a checkbook, but they do have a debit card. What would happen if you gave no critical thought to your checking account? You just say, well, I feel like I've got $10 million in my checking account, and you just start writing a slew of checks. Well, it doesn't take a genius. You don't have to have a lot of critical thought to know that that's not going to work very well. Or what happens when you keep using your debit card and finally it says zero balance? You need a little critical thought to not draw your balance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul said, prove all things. And then you hold fast that which is good, or that which is true, that which is right. Critical thought. Beware of false prophets. How are you going to watch out for those people? Matthew 7 and verse 15. It's going to come through critical thought. When you think about proving the acceptable, the perfect, the good will of God, Romans 12 and verse 2, how are you going to do that? It's going to be critical thought. Yet in our time, we find a number of people, a growing number of people, who look at logic and reasoning as akin or similar to poison, and it's not. Think about the people who have been charged with a crummy pew. Now, maybe it is dirty, but that shouldn't be where attention is riveted. We shouldn't want to focus on the grape juice that's on the carpet. Is there a mess that needs to be cleaned up? Okay, go clean it up and move on. Has someone stained the carpet? Okay, we would have wished that wouldn't have happened, but it did happen, move on. What about the poor singing? Ever been in a congregation that had poor singing? We can become so focused on that, so distracted by that, worship is something that we really don't engage in or engage in well. What about a crying child? Oh, the kids that were crying today, it was terrible, I couldn't hear. Maybe that's true, but still, remember why you're there. Could him as attacking individuals. Now, that's true. We've got examples of that. He attacked Paul and he attacked Job. And we think about Adam and Eve, certainly several individual attacks. But isn't it true that the devil also tries to attack congregations? Think about Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Satan, you can see him trying to slip his foot into the Jerusalem church. When Paul talked to the congregation at Rome, Romans 16, 20, he indicated that the devil had been working on that church as well. Satan seems to have targeted some of the Corinthian members, the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and each other for a good while. The Bible says that they did not agree on John Mark. Maybe the devil had a hand in that. had a hand in trying to disrupt some mission work. When you find people working together in almost any capacity, you find that problems generally arise at some point. Maybe people just start to work together and there are some immediate clashes, or maybe they're there for a few weeks, a few months, and then some problems arise. But generally speaking, when you look at secular relationships, some feathers are ruffled at some point. In a local congregation, oftentimes you have people together for several years, 40, 50 years, maybe even longer than that. Well, into hell. Well, who can cast both soul and body into hell? He said there's only one who can do that, and that is God. Well, when Jesus said God does that, that makes it clear that the devil is unable to cast soul and body into hell. And Jesus, in that first part of the verse, said, don't fear the one who's able to kill the body. You have someone who can do some very bad things to you, the devil, but don't fear him. You may not have ever looked at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 in terms of the coronavirus pandemic, but I'd suggest to you that that is one of the best verses in the Bible for COVID-19. Instead of don't fear the one who...
I know well.